As Roland mentioned earlier during communion about the Lord at work in our hearts, unfortunately the Lord created butterflies, and I get nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof, I tell you. How much do you think about spirituality? If you're a typical Australian, which I think most of you are, not very much. I think it's fairly typical of Westerners in general, that we tend to be very focused on physical things and what we're doing in the physical world around us. But the Bible talks about two realms, the physical world, which we know so well, but then the spiritual world, which we don't know as well, and for many of us it's an almost complete mystery. But Jesus said in John 4:24 that God is spirit. The word for spirit is pneuma, or breath. And so the angels and the demons as well are spirit. This morning I'd like to compare these two worlds and try and relate the spiritual world to the physical world so that we may get a better understanding of how the two do relate to each other and where we stand in both worlds, particularly the spiritual world. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, without which we would not have any way of knowing you, who you are, what you've done for us, and who we are, and where we're going. Lord, your word is such a powerful tool in your hands to shape our lives, to give us understanding. Lord, you want us to understand. You want us to know. You don't want us to be ignorant. So as we open your word together this morning, Lord, please bless our understanding, particularly of this spiritual world, Lord, the realm that in which you primarily exist, and how it compares to this physical world which you have created, in which we primarily exist at the moment, Lord. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glasses, Gary, glasses. And then it's not so fuzzy. The physical world is here now. As Liz said, we can touch it, feel it, see it, hear it, taste it, smell it. We can measure it. We can study it. We can learn and send people to the moon, build aeroplanes. I suppose Mars would be a better word than moon now. It's more on people's minds. We can build aeroplanes, computers, and hydrogen bombs. The spiritual world is a mystery. People wonder about it to a greater or lesser extent. People write books about it, make movies about it, but there is not much that we really know for sure, and many deny it exists at all. The only thing I know I can do for sure in the spiritual realm is I can talk to God. In the physical realm, we're very much governed by time. Some don't pay much attention to it. Niece Mel was saying that NT for Northern Territory actually stands for not today, not tomorrow, not Tuesday, and not Thursday. You know, so time is not as important up there. But it marches on relentlessly anyway, and eventually we run out of it. It seems that time may not exist in the spiritual realm. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Jesus was with God the Father before creation. He appeared to people in the Old Testament as an adult, yet was born 2,000 years ago as a baby in Bethlehem. Time in the spiritual realm is definitely not the same as here. This physical world was created. Space, energy, matter, time, and life. It had a beginning point and it will have an end. We'll talk about the end later. The spiritual world existed first, outside of time. Jesus said he existed before the world. And now, Father, he prayed, glorify me with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. From John 17. Resources in this physical world are limited, including time. We only have so much of each thing to work with. There don't seem to be any limits in the spiritual world, other than what the Lord gives or allows. In the physical world, we have limited knowledge. In the spiritual world, the beings seem to be so much more knowledgeable. The Lord has infinite knowledge. I think the most unbelievable thing to realize about the Lord is that he knew every single thing about this physical world before he created it. He knew the thoughts that we would all think and so on before he created us. Satan and his followers have limited knowledge, more than us, but they don't know everything. Same with the angels. I should quote the passage where the scriptures say that the angels are watching what the Lord does in our lives to learn about love and so on. But I didn't get the reference for that for you. We can communicate well with each other in this physical realm through a myriad of different ways. I love how scientists talk about how babies and so on are wired to communicate. And so it's this massive thing that's in a young child as they start to develop, that all these things come together to do with communication. I am a little confused about how communication works in the female world, however. Female to female seems to be okay, but female to male to female seems to be pretty dysfunctional. In the spiritual realm, we know that we can communicate with the Lord and that it goes in both directions. God communicates to us in a myriad of ways, as we see in examples in the Bible. Are thoughts spiritual? I don't think so. What are dreams anyway? Just crazy thoughts? What our brain does when we're not in control and it can just do the stupid things it wants to do? God knows everything we think. For example, this is said a lot of times in the scriptures, in different places, but Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. Life in this physical world is almost completely male and female. Life in the spiritual world is somewhat confusing. Matthew 22, verse 30 says that we will be like the angels, and there will not be any marriage. Does it mean no sexes? Or does it mean there's no difference, other than remembering that we were male or female or something? I've got no idea. All spiritual beings are referred to as he. But is he some kind of default? I don't know. Perhaps being female in this life is a little bit special. In the physical world, we can't influence what goes on in the spiritual world in a direct sense, naturally, in our own strength. There are some who would dispute that, psychics and mediums who are not just con artists, but genuinely try to get involved in the spiritual realm, not seeming to realise that they're totally out of their depth, that the spiritual being set all the terms, and that only the baddies will listen to them anyway. The spiritual beings can influence what happens in this physical world, but only under the ultimate control of God. The good angels only act in the will of God, and there are quite a few people who, I don't know whether they actually worship the angels, but they pay a lot of attention to angels directly But angels don't act of their own will. The angels act under the will of God. And Job chapters 1 and 2 show how Satan is restricted by the will of God. He's only able to do what the Lord allows him to do. And that has been a great relief to understand that he's under that sort of control. We have a lot of trouble on earth. Mankind is in rebellion against God. Adam chose to follow Eve into sin rather than look to God for an answer to the problem that had come up. Well, there's a similar trouble in heaven. Satan rebelled against God and apparently persuaded a third of the angels to follow him in that rebellion, as we're told about in Revelation 12, verse 4. But this trouble will end in both places. We're looking forward to 1,000 years of peace with Jesus ruling on the earth. The Bible talks about a little bit of trouble at the end of that. But then all of the rebellion will be dealt with, finally, in both places. When the physical universe is wrapped up in 1,000 years or so, as I understand the scriptures, the rebels will be eliminated, and all then will be very good, or maybe God might even call it perfect at that point. And we have a picture of this in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death or sorrow or crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And so on it goes. I won't keep reading because there's quite a bit there. I think we get the picture. We struggle against evil in this physical world, but is that really where the battle lies? We have to physically struggle to actually do things. We're told so many times. One of the worst things you could ever say as a Christian, or you could ever do, is to do nothing for someone and to say, "I'll pray for you." It can be extremely empty, especially to the person with the other mindset, the other person's mindset. They don't understand the power of prayer. Is the physical world where the battle will be won or lost? Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where the key battle lies. Even though we have authority over our enemy, in Jesus' name, there is still a struggle. If you're like me, the biggest struggle is to get from here to here. Kneeling is figurative, as we need to kneel in spirit before God's throne. Whether driving, sitting, walking, in the lunchroom at work, or the science lab at school, we need to acknowledge our inability and emptiness, God's ability and love, and humbly but boldly ask Him to have mercy. In the physical realm, we are only able to do so much. As we get old, we can do less and less. Health becomes a bigger and bigger issue, can be extremely frustrating. Only a few people can join the armed forces to fight a war. But spiritually, the oldest and most frail of us can be a mighty warrior, defeating the forces that would oppress us, that would frustrate the work of God, that cause sickness and suffering. Our world is now moving into a difficult time, and we need to stand together in the name of Jesus against the evil in our world. Experience has taught me to be very thankful for the people who pray for me. Remember to thank God for the people who pray for you. Here and now we struggle in a world cursed because of sin. There are blessings we enjoy, some many, others very few, and at different times, different seasons in our life, all the blessing on our life varies. I'm so grateful for this great country we live in. It's not perfect, and at the moment we're in a season where we're being reminded about many things that various people see as the imperfections, but it is so very good. And our predecessors had to work very, very hard to get it this far. It didn't just happen. It wasn't just luck. It's not because, as Dick Smith would tell us, because we didn't have many people, and if we get rid of some people, that life will be better. In heaven, in the spiritual world, we will be perfected people who have chosen to accept the love of God. We will be good, as we read. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Which is a quote from Isaiah 64. Round about verse 4 and other bits. What we will be doing in eternity, I don't know exactly. What I do know is that our eternity is in the hands of the one who made the beauty that we enjoy in this world now. In the physical realm, we didn't have much choice in the start of our life. All the decisions were made for us. However, beginning your spiritual life is entirely your choice. We each need to make the decision to accept Jesus Christ and his death for us. Do you accept that he is God and that he can give you eternal life because he died for you on the cross? As Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, 1-6. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we must be born of the Spirit. Are we alive or are we dead? In the physical world, doctors measure physical things to see. They measure our pulse, they measure our breathing, they measure our brain activity. We can be physically dead, but within a certain period of time, we can be revived. If we're revived, were we really dead? Even if we are physically dead, God can restore us to life from any stage. As with Lazarus in John 11, 1 to 44, I'm not going to read all that, but it's one of my favourite accounts in the Bible. Martha said, Lord, by this time, after 4 days, there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. The Lord can do anything. He is in complete control. But as I said, I think this spiritual world is outside of time. As God sees us, we are in one of two conditions. We are alive in Jesus Christ, or we are dead in our sin. I love Jesus' reply to the Sadducees in Matthew 22, verse 32. When they talked about people who were dead in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? And Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So all of those guys had physically died, but they loved the Lord. They had given their life to him, and they were looking forward to the coming Messiah. And so they were not dead. They were alive. If you're alive in Jesus Christ, you will live forever. Noah's Ark is a picture of Jesus. If you were in the Ark, you were safe from the judgment of the flood. If you are in Jesus, you are safe from the judgment to come. Sorry, I'm split between two pages here. In the physical world, we can make choices about bringing people into and taking them out of this physical world. God has his final say and oversight, of course, but he seems to allow us to do certain things. In the spiritual world, I'll read the example of 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, hang on, I'm missing that previous line. We can't make choices for others about the spiritual world. We can ask God to act. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. We are God's agents in the process. He works through us as he works through the witness of creation in Romans 1, verse 20. The angels are also messengers in this, as in Acts 10, when the angel spoke to Cornelius. God himself, of course, on occasion, as Jesus spoke to many, but he also spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus. We've all begun our physical life. But have we begun our spiritual life? Our physical life will end. Only God knows when. Our spiritual life will not end. It is real life, with God, free from the limitations of this world and the burden of sin? Are you still dead in your sin? Are the people you love still dead in their sin? There are many around us who are dead in their sin. Or are you alive in Jesus Christ? If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Saviour and begun your eternal life, I invite you to do that right now. John wrote in 1 John 5:11 to 13 that God wants us to know that we have eternal life. He wants us to be certain that we have eternal life, not some kind of vague hope that maybe one day after I die I'll kind of be acceptable to the Lord. He wants us to know. 1 John 5:11 to 13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son of life, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Isn't that great? Let's pray. Lord, it is so wonderful that your plans for us are good, that you want us to know you, and that you want us to have that peace that is beyond all understanding, Lord, that amid the trials of life, amid whatever is happening, we can know you. We can be safe in your hands, and we can know that we are safe in your hands. That whatever happens to us in this life, our eternity is sealed. It is sealed in your Son. And we just thank you so much. Lord, please help us to live this way in this physical world. Help us to live with the confidence in knowing that we are yours. Help us to love completely and self-sacrificially, Lord, not holding back. Lord, please may we have the privilege of being your ambassadors, your channel of blessing to those around us who don't yet know you, but to all those, Lord, who need you so much. We pray these things in Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen.